So I'm curious about your global take on the risk of radiation therapy today. You send a patient, they're going to the Memorial Radiation Therapy Department, they're going to get the best possible radiation they can. But what would you say to a patient in terms of what their long-term risk is of some significant complication, cardiovascular, second cancer, that would be a serious problem? What's your global take on that?
Well, you know, radiation therapy has its place, and I think actually I applaud the younger generation of radiation oncologists who say, look, we have a treatment that is not safe. There's no safe dose. We want to figure out when to use it, when it's not needed, and when we do use it, we want to give it as safely as possible. I think the group treating breast cancer has really pioneered this attitude. So the radiation therapy that's given today, they're really iterations of what are called involved field radiation therapy. So this means that all sites that are initially involved are radiated, regardless of whether they resolve after chemotherapy. So they have newer iterations that are called involved site radiation therapy and involved node radiation therapy that shrink the size of the post-treatment ports. However, they still treat all the initial involved sites. The mediastinum is particularly a problem. This results in significant exposure of off-target sites such as the heart, breast, neck, lungs, and so forth, although it is somewhat less than with other types of radiation therapy. So the risk is not going to be zero. Whether the results of this approach will result in 10 to 20 years in less second primary cancers, less cardiovascular disease, I think is an open question. There's some data suggesting that involved field radiation therapy, the older version of this, still is associated with significant events. But again, you know, these are things that are seen 10 to 20 years later, and you know, we'll have to wait to see. But I think that the dosimetry, where they can actually look at the exposure to off-target sites, can be kind of a surrogate for what we might expect.
Do you have any rough global estimate on the global risk?
Well, you know, we know, for example, with more extensive radiation therapy, that the risk of second cancers is about 1% per year. So at 20 years, it's about 20%. And we know that there is a dose-related risk of coronary artery disease with increasing doses of radiation, with really no zero risk. So we don't know with these somewhat reduced fields whether this will be improved or not.
What about the patient who's PET positive, the 9% or 10%?
Well, that is a real problem. We don't think that escalated BCOP, and radiation therapy, you know, with a 30% relapse rate is that great. And also trials, we'll talk about advanced stage disease in another case, but also PET-adapted approaches using BCOP for PET-positive patients also has about a 30% relapse rate, and with the risks of high-dose chemotherapy. So I think the question of what to do with the PET-positive patients is not answered by clinical trials. I mean, I use an individualized approach. So if a patient is a little bit PET-positive but is kind of going in the right direction on the interim PET, I'll continue them on ABVD. I might give them a total of 6 cycles rather than 4 cycles, and then we'll do an end-of-treatment PET, which is really the criteria for response. That's the gold standard. If they're still PET positive, I will biopsy them if I think that it is, you know, really suspicious that there's persistent disease. There are a lot of false positives with PET. If it's, again, it's better and I think it could be a false positive, I might follow them and just repeat the PET at 2 or 3 months. So I think we don't really know with these risk-adapted approaches what the best treatment is for PET-positive patients.
For, you know, again, outside a trial setting, you said a patient who's responding but not quite PET positive and PET negative. What about the patient who's primarily refractory?
Well, any patients who's primarily refractory, you're going to want to investigate. I mean, somebody seems to be progressing. I mean, you will, even before we had PET, you'd work that up, you'd biopsy them, and so on.
Yeah, well, maybe that was too strong. I was just trying to get the other. You said if the patient was really responding well, you keep the treatment going.
If I think the patient is, I'm really concerned that they're not responding, I would biopsy them. And then I would, on the basis of that, I would go to other treatment. Usually in a young patient, this would be a program leading to autologous transplant and probably would include radiation therapy.
Right.